Let's go ahead and take our Bibles this morning to the book of Proverbs, chapter number 11. Proverbs, chapter number 11. There's one verse that we're going to start off with, and even just one phrase we're going to focus on a little while. And I think most of the church family knows, and if this is the first time you're finding out, I hope, I meant to mention it earlier. Mrs. Llewellyn Creech passed away this past Friday, and the service they're having for her is next Monday. There's a viewing at 2 o'clock and a 3 o'clock service, so it's not tomorrow, it's the following Monday. And the reason why I mention it now is because I have a little bit of a story I'd like to tell you. I know some of you may have heard it before. If you ever know Mrs. Creech, she likes to tell her stories, and the story about the day that we met. And the title of this morning's message is, and it's found in verse number 30, he that winneth souls is wise. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. With Mrs. Creech, I met Mrs. Creech on door knocking. And most of you know Mrs. Creech. She's a great lady, a lot of fun to be around. And I remember going up, and today's message is to try to encourage you. One of the wisest things you can do with your life is to reach out to others. And if anybody could go up and ask Mrs. Creech to come to, if I could go up and ask Mrs. Creech to come to church, anybody could. So I'm talking to you about how simple it was, but we had a cute interaction the first time we met. So I'm out there, I'm door knocking. If you know where she lives at, she lives off a side road that lots of times people probably wouldn't even go down with door knocking. It's Wednesday night, and with our teenagers on Wednesday night, when I was a youth pastor, we used to go out and we would canvas. So we would knock on doors, they'd come back after school, we'd do that. We would go, we'd some type of dinner here, and then we'd have Wednesday night choir practice for the teenagers, and then we have Wednesday night teen group in the back. So I'm there, we're knocking it, and if it ever has an odd number, I go by myself. I know you're supposed to go two by two, but I also want to reach out to a lot of people, and as assistant pastor, there was a lot of times I went by myself anyway, just because I didn't have anybody to go with. And we're there, I parked the van, and lots of times, there's only a few houses on the street, so all the teenagers went out, and there was one house where I parked the van, and I thought, I'll go grab this house while all the other ones are being done. So I walk up the driveway, and there's a minivan there, and on the back of the minivan, there's a bumper sticker. And it says, I danced at Big Al's, and there's a picture of a lady dancing on a table. And I kind of look at it, and I kind of scratch my head a little bit, and I'm thinking, I wonder who's going to answer the door. I think there's going to be some 25-year-old girl there that, you know, who knows what you're going to find the answer. So you never know who's going to be on the side of the door. So I walk up there a little bit hesitantly and knock on the door. And a second or two later, door swings open. And, you know, Mrs. Creech is short. and the light was coming through, so I couldn't see her that well. And in her fashion, she's like, what do you want? That's just why she would ask me that still today, you know, and I said, what do you want? And so, and I couldn't see her that well, so I began to tell her who I was, and we had a really nice conversation, and obviously she was interested, and we talked for a little while. It was not who I was expecting, and opened the door there, and for years I joked her about the bumper sticker, and she says, I've never danced on a table. I said, well, good. So that's what the bumper sticker says, and for years I thought it said I danced on top of table at Big Al's, but it didn't. She showed me the bumper sticker, and that's a couple Sundays later, she comes to church, and she's looking around for me, and I don't know if she did this on purpose or she was just trying to be mean. She says, where's that old man that came to my door and knocked on my door? Now, remember, this is when Pastor Thompson was here, so that would have been 15 years ago. And so he said, where's that old guy that came and knocked on my door? And, you know, somebody says, well, the assistant pastor goes out, but he's not that old. And she came to me, she says, you're not the guy that knocked on my door. I said, I sure was. And she's like, you had gray hair back then. Did you color it? I said, no, nobody colors their hair gray on purpose, so this is my next. And from that, she says, it must have been the way the light was hitting. And I agree, I could not see her because of the light, really. I guess knew it was a little, and you could tell from a lady's voice, and she was yelling, what do you want to me? So from that, it began a friendship. And I know a friendship that many of you guys had. And I know some of you were probably even closer than I was to her. And but she started coming to church. And after a while, her husband started coming to church. And I'm not sure how the exact story is about when she was saved. She might have been saved beforehand and just got baptized while she was here. I know Marshall got his heart right and got baptized while he was here. And she might have also, Pastor Thompson dealt with them when it came concerning that. And the next 15 years, she was a friend to many of us. She loved helping us, and we loved helping her. And I look around and I'm thinking about where she would have been at, because most of her family lives extendedly. I know she had her friends that she would play cards with and games with and things like that. But she used to tell me all the time, she says, the church family is my family. They helped take care of me, especially the last couple of years, especially a few that was really focused and gave up so much of their lives to be an encouragement and blessing to them. I'm thankful for everybody who did so much to help her and be a blessing. And it was an encouragement. And I thought about it. And the Lord kind of laid this upon my heart that it wasn't a hard thing to do, to just go up and talk to a lady and knock on a door and church. And she came. And I think if anybody, any of us knew that the next Mrs. Creech was behind the door, that we would go knock on her door this afternoon and ask her to come to church. But you don't know who Mrs. Creech is until you go knocking on the doors. But there was somebody, and she was looking for a church. She wanted to go to a church. Marshall didn't want to go to church at the beginning. After a while, Marshall, who once again was a character too, and her service, we're going to talk a little bit more, obviously. And this is not a message about Mrs. Creech. This is a message about we should go out and try to find the next Mrs. Creech. And now, once again, it doesn't have to be some short lady who has a great personality, who's a lot of fun, but also can be very ornery too at the same time. It doesn't have to be that, but if I hadn't knocked on the door, then she would have missed out on possibly getting her heart right and being baptized and being part of a church family that meant the world to her. And I think sometimes when we go out and we try to approach others and we talk to others and we think, nobody wants to hear, nobody wants to know. But the reality is there's people out there that are hurting and they need help. Look across the room, I see and a few people who came because I gave them an invitation. You say, well, Pastor, you're bragging. I would say it's probably a little bit more of I'm ashamed that there's not more. So I wish there was more. I could say, hey, they came because I gave them an invitation, or because I gave a family member an invitation, or because I knocked on the door. And there has been some. I remember Mrs. Mary Rogers. Well, I liked Miss Mary. I wasn't as close to her as I was Mrs. Creech, but I had to go to her house four different times before she ever felt safe enough to come to church, because she had to ride the van, and she kept on saying, I want to come, but I'm not sure. She said, well, can I come back and visit again? And met with her son, and then she came, and same thing at the end of her life. She was an older lady. She's like, this church has meant so much to me, and especially the Widow Ladies program and all the things that they have gone through and all they've done. It was their life. They had a lot of other things. Now, Miss Mary had a son that lived nearby, and she had some family a little bit more interactive than Miss Luz, but it meant the world to her. You know how we just found them? And with Miss Mary, I was by myself also. I just went up and knocked on a door and said, I'm Brian Pease from Faith Baptist Church. In both of those instances, I was the assistant pastor. I'd like to invite you out to the church. And is there somebody here today because you invited them? If not, should there be somebody? And he that winneth souls is wise. It is a wise thing to win souls for Christ. Miss Mary was already Christian, and she wasn't going to church. She didn't know how to get there, and we had somebody pick her up. And then after a while, I think she started riding the van. Mrs. Creech, same thing. I believe, if I remember correctly, she was Christian, or she rededicated her heart or life or whatever it was beforehand. You get old, you forget things. But I know her husband got her heart right. You know, it's just because somebody simply went to her house and invited her to church. I know not everybody feels confidence about leading someone to Christ, which if you don't, the first thing you should do this afternoon is learn about it, because there is nothing wiser you can do than help win people to Christ. But I'm pretty sure everybody can go and knock on someone's door and say, hey, would you like to go to church? And tell them about the church. And there is nothing, if I can do it, anybody can do it. If you know me, I don't have the greatest personality in the world. I'm a little bit backwards when it comes to talking to new people and all that other stuff. But it was just simply being willing to go. And I look across the room and I see a few others. And I'm thankful for those few. And there's some that have come and some that have gone over the years. People we've seen saved on visitation at the door and people we've seen come and join. But I think our church would be a lot more full today is if we would grab a hold of this idea. It's a wise thing to win people to Christ. And I guess even think about the story about Mrs. Creech and even Miss Mary. They weren't hard visits. Now, have I ever had somebody be mean to me? Of course. Never had anybody come after me with a gun, but I've had a couple times people just not interested. And that's okay, because the Bible tells us that's going to happen. But the thought that comes with it is, if we look across the room, and I've been here for almost 20 years, I should see a few more people than I do. And that encourages me, because I know one's not going to be smiling at me anymore. And it makes me sad. But think about how much we helped someone for those last 15 to 17 years just because someone knocked on the door. And why don't we do that? So this morning's message, he that win his souls is wise. There's a couple things about being wise I'd like to think about. First thing I want you to think about when it says he when his soul is wise, I want you to first understand that it's the Holy Spirit of God that does the work. It's the Holy Spirit of God that draws a person. This is the idea of attracting a person means going in the Holy Spirit power and authority, inviting people to church, talking to people about the gospel. That's what it's talking about, wanting souls wise. When we talk about winning a soul, we means presenting the gospel and the Holy Spirit doing the work. It's not us. Like I said, me and Mrs. Creech is completely different. She's a fun person. She's outgoing. She's friendly. Me, I'm the opposite. I'm boring, and many times I would tell her she needed to relax a little bit. She'd try to push the envelope, whatever. We had a lot of fun together, but it wasn't anything about who I was, is the fact that the Holy Spirit worked in her heart. And it was such a blessing. I don't know about you, I've been in church all my life, and church has been one of the greatest blessings in my life. I'm thankful someone told my mom, invited my mom as a little girl to take her to Sunday school, invited my dad, two completely different areas, invited him as a young man to come to Sunday school, and they picked him up and they took him there. Someone went to their houses, from what I understand of the testimony, went to their houses, asked them, can we take your child to church with us? Two different areas, and then obviously two people that were believers getting saved and being part of that. I'm thankful for that. Which has been one of the greatest blessings of my life. Obviously, my relationship with God, huge. Obviously, the most important relationship, the relationship with my family, also huge. But the relationship the church has been with me, I would not be upset somebody invited me to church. And that's why I think sometimes we're fearful of somebody thinking, they're not going to want to come. They're going to think I'm harassing them. They need it. They need the gospel. They're not going to sit there in hell someday and say, boy, I wish they would have never harassed me. They're probably going to say, hey, I wish they would have said it a little bit louder, a little bit harder. I wish they would go to my family and tell them these things. You know, as a young man, and I was a telemarketer for a little while, and I used to call and ask people if they wanted a credit card. And I used to sell them something they did not. I only did it for 6 months because I hated it. Because what I would, the sales pitch was, hey, look, you're in credit card debt. We got this 0% interest for 12 months. You could get all your bills paid off, and then it would be a help to you financially responsible, make you even more financially responsible. Don't you want this? That's the way they pitched it. the credit card company knows that the person that's already in credit card debt's probably not going to be financially responsible. They're going to transfer all those balances, and then they're going to run up their credit cards, and they're going to be twice as much in debt than they were. They didn't need another credit card. They needed to buckle down and get things figured out and do things right. And I was trying to sell them something they didn't need. You're not trying to sell anybody Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came and died on the cross because he loved them and because of their sins. And it's a wise person that will tell somebody else that Jesus loves them and died for them, and that there should be no shame in telling someone or knocking on someone's door and inviting them to your church, or telling somebody, can I give you something to read and pull something out of your pocket? This is truth. This is something everyone needs. And a church home, you're not trying to sell them on a church home, but at the same time, been in church all my life. Some of the greatest blessings I have happened is inside this building and inside Baptist Bible Church in Elkton, Maryland. Why is that? Because it's wise to win souls. So first thing, it is wise to know and do the word of God. Not only is it just a passage of scripture says the fruit of the righteous is the tree of life, and he that winneth his souls is wise. It's wise to know and do the will of God. We talk about knowing and understanding the will of God. We know and understand that he wants us to do. Even the Bible says when Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount towards the end says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon the rock. We're not going to tell that story, but it's the picture there. If you listen and do, then you're a wise person. You're laying a strong foundation. If you listen and do not, you're called a foolish person. And I think we would all agree that God has given us a great commission. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. We've been given a great commission. So if we know we're supposed to do it and we don't do it, that means we're being foolish. So it is a wise person that will go out and not only know the word of God, but also do it. Another thing, it is a wise person to live with eternity in view. It is a wise person to live with eternity in view. What does that mean? That means you don't live for here and now. You live for what's going to last forever. You think about it, here in this world, you may live 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70. I believe Mrs. Creech was 78. I believe Miss Mary was in her 80s when she passed away. We don't live for these 80 years. So often, that's what we are told to do. So often, we're told to grab as much as we can, do as much as we can, live for ourselves. But that's not what the Scripture says. The Bible says, lay up treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not corrupt. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. So many times we are living for here and now, and we're missing the whole point that we will spend all of eternity someplace. And what we do for him here and what we do for him now is what we'll receive rewards, and be thankful that we did those things for all of eternity. Don't get me wrong, we live here today. We want to be comfortable. We want to do things we enjoy. We want all those things, and I understand that, but never lose sight of eternity, and that eternity, and that's what we should have in view. It's more important what we're doing for sake of eternity than it is what we do here. And I tell you, over the years, Mr. Steve and I are visitation partners sometimes, and when we would go visit Mrs. Creech, we always ask people, is there an older person, especially a widow lady, is there anything we can do to help before we leave? Almost everybody says no, but you can ask Mr. Steve. Mrs. Creech always said yes. So, but she always used to feed us too at the same time. But she knew we were coming. She would have a couple jobs that she wanted us to do. And even though many of us have helped her physically so many times and been such a blessing, the best thing that anybody ever did was tell her about the gospel. That's the greatest thing. Why is that? Because that's going to last for eternity for her. It's a wise to live with eternity in view. The Bible even puts it this way. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. He says, don't be focusing on the things of the earth. Live above it. Live where Christ is seated on the right hand. If you be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. He said, why is this so important? It's because people's eternity is at stake. That's why he says, he that winneth souls is wise. It's wise because they care about their eternity. They don't just care about the here and now. They don't care about just their happiness and how you can entertain them and how you can make them feel good. A person that is dead today and that's in hell today would say, I would rather have somebody tell me the truth of the gospel that could help me for all eternity than just entertaining me for a little while. You say, what scripture do you have that back up? The rich man that's in hell, he lifted up his eyes, and what did he say? Can you please send someone to my brothers? I'm in torments here. Send somebody. Somebody needs to tell them. Somebody needs to know. They need to know. And it's wise to consider eternity more than here and now. And sometimes we will spend hours upon hours upon hours being a blessing to somebody in a physical form. And I think that is scriptural. I think that is Christ-like. But we will never tell them the gospel. And even though we help them here, it would be wise for us to help them for eternity. This morning, do we live with eternity in view? Let's take our Bibles now to Daniel chapter number 12. It's a really a neat verse in Daniel chapter number 12. Now remember, Daniel has been taken in exile. His nation has been destroyed, possibly even lost his parents right in front of his eyes, as they would often do. And the Babylonians would kill their family, sometimes even before their eyes, so when they got over to Babylon, they would not want to care about their country anymore. Daniel takes a stand for the Lord as a slave, and God blesses him over and over and over again. He saw emperors, Nebuchadnezzar, turn to God. And praise the Lord, I mean, he shined as a light. He was wise because he didn't say, hey, I'm just going to settle in. I'm just going to be a Babylonian. God allowed me to be here. So because God allowed me to be here, I'm just going to do whatever they tell me to do and just live a good life. You know what? Daniel instead, he purposed in his heart, he was not going to defile himself. And he lived a life that was on the cutting edge. And he talked to emperors. He lived for God in such a way. And as an older man, he's penning these words. And after he has seen Nebuchadnezzar get right with the Lord. And he's even seen the king, I believe is Darius, that had cast him into the lion's den, talk about how God is the one true God. Over and over, God used him because he shined as a light in this world. And as an older man, he writes these words in verse number 3, chapter 12. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. I started reading that verse and thinking about that a little bit, and we were talking about being wise. It talks about a person that's wise as a person who shines as the brightness of the firmament. And I think about Daniel. He had true wisdom. He shined brightly where he was at. He stood out above everyone else. He stood and said, I don't want to defile myself. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said to King Nebuchadnezzar, we're not careful to answer you concerning these matters. Daniel chapter number 2, he's looking at Nebuchadnezzar and he said, you know, I can't interpret your dreams, but there is a God in heaven, but God who is in heaven, he can do it. He stood and he shined bright in front of the lowest to the highest. And he under the Holy Spirit's inspiration, he pens these words, says, you know what, it's wise. I know he's not talking about himself, just as I'm not trying to talk to myself, saying, hey, look at me, I invited Mrs. Creech. I'm ashamed of the fact that there's not more Mrs. Creeches here today because I haven't invited enough. And that's the conviction that's on my heart is what I'm trying to share with you today. It's wise to invite people. It's wise to see people saved. He that winneth souls is wise. And Daniel, who stood out as light, I don't think he's talking about himself, but he saw many turn to righteousness. You say, Pastor, do you not know where we live at? Do you not know the day and time we live at? Do you not know the people I work with? Think about Daniel. He's a slave in midst of wickedness all around him, pagans. They stood up, they worshiped gods, and they had magicians and astrologers that couldn't get the answer, but God let him shine as an answer. If you say it was difficult for you today to just ask somebody, hey, would you like to come to church with me and use your influence? Think about Daniel that had to stand up before the most powerful man alive and say, you know, I can't be the one to help you, but there's a God in heaven that can.
You think about Joseph at Potiphar's house or in the pit. It wasn't easy for him, but boy, how bright did he shine in that day and time. Not only to the Egyptians, but also to his brothers. You think about the story of Elijah. God used him. It was a dark, dark time. You think about John the Baptist. He was just the voice, but he shined as a light. He lost his head for it, but he shined. It was a dark time. It's the Apostle Paul in the Roman Empire. He did much more than just invite someone out to church. He started churches. And when you think about it, he shined as a light. Daniel lived in a different place. But true wisdom, as you see here, is someone who has shined as the brightness, as the firmament. And as I said, I do not believe Daniel's trying to toot his own horn. I think he's just saying, shine. The Bible even says, Jesus himself gave a command. He says, let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. They're saying, let your good works, let the change that God has made in your life show up so real and so evident that other people around you will see that. And they will not praise you because they know it could not be you. They will praise the God that has changed you. And if we would live a life that looks like we've been called from darkness unto light, if we would live a life that would show that God's made a change and he's made us a new creature, the world would look at him and say, man, what's the change that God had to do that because he couldn't do that himself. And I've heard some of your testimonies. I've seen God work in your lives. I've seen the difference in the change that's happened when I've seen individuals saved. I see a sweetness, a desire that's changed, actions that change, motives that change, attitudes change because God makes us a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And I want you to see that it is wise to shine as a light because God told us to do it. And we should listen, not only know, we should also do it. And Daniel here shining as a light in a dark place. Daniel also knew how to shine a light that would last forever. You read that, it says at the end, and they that turn many to righteousness as stars forever and ever. What we do is something that lasts forever and ever. Greater works, Jesus says. Greater works we're going to have the opportunity to do. What is that? We're going to have the opportunity to show someone how to be saved and have eternity. I look back on my life and I think about a lot of the things I've done. And anytime anybody passes away, especially a friend, you consider eternity. You take time to think about it. And I look back at my life and I've done a lot of nice things and good things. But how much have I stored up for heaven? How many things have I laid up my treasures in heaven? I've helped a lot of people, and I know you get rewards for that. I know that's Christ-like. I know that's Christ-honoring. But how many people are going to be in heaven because I had an influence in their life? And obviously, we've seen people saved through preaching. We've seen people saved for Kids Crusade. I went up to a young man one time. He was about 23 or 24. He was struggling with some things in his life. And I went to him. I asked him, his name, are you a Christian? I know you've been coming to church all these years on and off, but are you a Christian? It seems like you're struggling a little bit. And most believers would not have as much problems. He says, you would know. And I said, why? And he says, at a vacation Bible school, he accepted Christ as his personal Savior. And I talked to him about the difference between knowing God and talked to him a little bit about repentance, talked to him a little bit about understanding the truth and how sometimes kids will make a profession that they did not understand. But I said, I'm not questioning your salvation. I'm questioning the way you're living right now and not having any remorse about it. But over the years, I'm saying there's been influence. Over the years, I didn't even remember leading him to Christ. And I know even way back then, it was somebody who I would take the time. I'm very careful when it comes to salvation. And I'm very careful not being the one to push even a child. We could have lots of people just say words. That's not what we're looking for. We're looking for a heart change. We're looking for someone to see their need and to repent of their sins and to see that they're sinners in need of a Savior. And all those things. So there's been influence. There's been times. And I'm not saying that to brag. I'm saying that because of the fact that a lot of the things I've done will not shine forever. And I need to be more focused on things that is going to last forever. When I consider that we lost another friend. I'm thankful she's in heaven. I'm thankful that for all those who have gone on ahead. But how many more would be here if we would just simply ask? How many more would be able to be a blessing, not only to individuals, but also themselves to be a blessing? Because I know she was a blessing to my life, but she would rant and rave about how many of you have been such a blessing. So think about it. Daniel was something that we hear about now, we still talk about now. I know people know who Belteshazzar are, and people know who Nebuchadnezzar was, but Daniel, his star shines brighter than anyone else. In a world today where people are looking to stand out, you know, athletes are doing certain things to try to show up the next one, to show up the next one so they can be the biggest and the best so their star can shine brighter than anyone else. Or executives that are trying to be cutthroat so they can outdo someone else so they can shine a little bit brighter. Or maybe anybody out there is trying to fight and try to be the best so that way you can shine brighter. You want to know how you can shine the brightest? Live like Jesus, because there's not a lot of people doing it. Live like him and you will shine in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation and generation, and you will shine a brightness that will last forever, because even though some basketball stars can come and go and you'll see their star for a little while, but in 20 years from now, someone's going to say, who in the world is LeBron James? Oh no, he's going to be the star. I can name basketball stars from the 50s and 60s and 70s that kids today, who's that? Unless they play them on a video game and they have some type of old thing, it ain't going to matter. They're not going to know who he is, because their star doesn't last forever. What they do does not last forever. It doesn't really matter in eternity's sake. And Daniel, he shined forever. And so many times people, and I don't think there's anything wrong with athletics. I think there's a right way to do it and wrong way to do it. But so many times they push for that. They want to be the best and the greatest. They want to shine the brightest. But the way that people shine the brightest scripturally is when they're willing to humble themselves. Scripture talks about how the least and the weakest are the ones that shine the brightest. The ones who humble themselves and the ones who give of themselves are the ones who shine the greatest. They do the most for eternity. This morning, he that winneth souls is wise. And I'm wondering, are you on your way to heaven? Winning souls means that you have showed them the gospel. You have showed them the attractiveness of the gospel. You have showed them the need of it, their need. And you show them how they can be saved. And the Holy Spirit works in their heart. Are you a Christian this morning? I can say with biblical confidence, based off of her testimony and based off of what the Bible says, Mrs. Creech is in heaven today, because the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Praise the Lord for that. Awesome, fantastic. That's not going to get you to heaven. And it would be unwise for me as a preacher to not say there's only one way to heaven. That's through Jesus Christ. That we all need a Savior. That all of us are sinners. And somebody say, oh, I don't like that message. It's too narrow. It'd be unwise to water down the gospel. It'd be unwise not to say it. It's unwise not to live with eternity in view, thinking that you may never be here in another service. Because as much as Mrs. Creech was hurting the last few weeks, she didn't think last Sunday was going to be her last Sunday. I didn't think it was. I went and saw her last Saturday, 8 days ago. I knew she wasn't feeling well, and I wanted to make sure I saw her in case something did happen. But it took us all by surprise. There's no promise of tomorrow. Jesus could come back at any time. And I know we all say, come on, come Lord, come quickly. And we want him to come. But there is people that will be lost for all eternity. Live with eternity in view. It is wise to win souls. It is unwise to not do what God told us to do. I want to encourage you today. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, in a few minutes, we have an invitation time. Brother Christian will be down front. And come, let us have somebody take a Bible and show you how you can be saved and on your way to heaven. What the Bible says, how we're all sinners. What the Bible says, the price of our sin. What the Bible says, how we can pay, how Jesus paid that sin price, and how we can put our faith and trust in Jesus. We'd love to show you how. If you're a lady will show you. If you're a gentleman will show you. But get it settled. Live with eternity in view. Don't wait thinking that you're going to have tomorrow. Because there's many who thought they would. He that winneth souls is wise. I think that we have a lot of wisdom when it comes to certain things, but many of us are unwise when it comes to the commandment that God's given us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Because remember, he said, he that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man. So we have heard it over and over and over. But if we don't do it, we're as the foolish man. So, as we finish up, who wants to go find the next Mrs. Creech? Who wants to be the person to go out there and invite somebody to church? Live with eternity in view. Even if they might not want it, there are people who does. And the Holy Spirit does the work. I got rejected many times. Okay? So, you're following the Lord. Do what the Lord's told you to do. That's what why. He's that win his souls is wise. And I could tell you a few more stories about people who hear because we've invited them. Just simply knocked on their door or passed out a track in the mall. But not enough stories. There's not enough people here. Why is that? Because we're unwise in this. And I'm asking that God would convict our hearts and that we would go out because he's told us to. Not just because we like Mrs. Creech and we want to find the next Mrs. Creech. Because that brings him more glory and honor. And it helped her for eternity. I think reaching out to people show that we care and that we love doing services for people help show that the love of Christ to others. I think that's good. But never lose sight. Don't be unwise and not give them the gospel. That's going to help them for eternity. Daniel's light shined bright in one of the darkest places, brighter than the biggest and strongest guys that threw the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego inside the furnace. They were the bright stars of the army that day, gone just like that. The astrologers and magicians of that day, Daniel put them to shame. His shined bright because what he did lasted for eternity, turning many to righteousness as the stars shine forever and ever. Do something this week that will make a difference in eternity. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you.